Residual Hauntings revived. Welcome. Yes, we are back live. We're hiding away from the dungeon. The troll hasn't been fed for like 2 weeks, and he's really ornery. So we threw a couple dwarfs down there, and hopefully that'll appease him.
Maybe.
We can only hope. Jess has been a little busy. So, yes, we are back live, and as always, every week, we're having some lovely technical difficulties. I can't sign into chat, but everything else seems to be working just fine, which scares the hell out of me.
I just got the black window of death.
Oh, no! Run away! Run away! So, I understand that The Walking Dead this week was incredible. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I have not. I haven't watched any of the season yet because it started when Kevin was gone.
And you can't watch it alone?
If I start watching it without Kevin, then he'll come home and be like, you watched it without me?
Yeah. There's a couple of things that I'm not allowed to do that with, like Supernatural. Stacey gets pissed if I watch the Supernatural without her. So I have like 4 episodes that I'm behind on.
It happens.
Because we just haven't had time. And I was planning on watching him at the airport because I got like a, depending on how fast I get through TSA with my free fill-up.
As long as there's not another bullet in your bag.
No. I'm going to double check, triple check.
What about a cat in your bag?
I'm starting to get a little nervous.
She does seem a little ambitious.
Ambitious?
Rambunctious.
I was going to say some big word with A, but I forgot it.
Ambiguous?
No. Anxious.
Oh.
Anxious really isn't big.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not that big of a word, is it?
It's big for Tom.
It is.
Oh, crap. What did I do? Forget my password now?
I don't know.
Retro.
So, yeah, I can't even sign in now. Oh, it's showing me there now, but I don't understand. Moopie. Yeah, I can't get my chat to work. It ain't working at all.
It's
going
to be hard to send over Tom's big word then.
And so I have this new laptop. I bought a new laptop. And F5 is supposed to refresh your page, but it has some secondary thing on here that sends it to another screen. So if I have a projector, it projects it to the other screen.
Right.
And that's the F5 button. So I'm trying to refresh, and every time I hit the F5 button, my screen goes black. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So it's Windows 8. So I'm on the borderline now. I just got used to Windows 7. And now I'm like Windows 8. And it's like tablet format. I mean, one of the screens is a tablet format, and I have a tablet. So I keep trying to push the screen and realizing my screen's not a touch screen. So I got fingerprints all over my damn screen. Because, well, it looks
for
like a tablet.
Absolutely no reason at all.
Absolutely no reason at all. And that Tom is really stupid some days. It usually happens late at night.
Tom's laptop thinks it's in Braille.
A Braille laptop would be cool. Could you imagine that?
A touchscreen Braille laptop?
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't come out with it.
They keep doing stuff when you're trying to read it.
The porn sites are incredible.
touch me. So I got some fantastic news today. Residual Hauntings Revive will be at WonderCon.
Yay.
50,000 people last year. They had 50,000 people show up to this.
Cool.
I don't know who the guest of honors are. I'm going to talk with my Snapple and it kind of gives an echo effect. That's pretty cool. I'm thirsty.
So.
All right.
This is actually a pretty good flavor. It's hard to find Diet Snapple anywhere, and when I find a new flavor, I snag it up. Anyway, WonderCon, March 29th and 30th in Anaheim. And that was a loud
click.
Can we
go to Disneyland while we're there?
We'll talk about it off air.
I mean, if we're going to be in Anaheim.
Yeah. And we'll have to have
it be
Heather.
Somebody else you're discussing that with?
Well, we get
Kevin
six.
Like
we get 6 tickets.
No, I'm joking.
What?
I don't.
Oh, you almost got your husband in a lot of trouble there, Jess. Because we're gonna talk Heather into showing up. Once Heather knows that we're gonna be at WonderCon, you know she's gonna show up, and she's gonna take us to Disneyland, and it's gonna be awesome. Speaking of Heather, I get to go hang out with Heather all weekend. I'm very excited. Yay. I'm extremely nervous too, because this is like a liberal arts college. And whenever somebody says liberal to me, I get extremely nervous. I don't know why that is. It just happens. But I get to go to California and hang out with Heather and get my free TSA exam for Obamacare this weekend. Hopefully I get through it really fast. I'm going a little early so I don't miss my flight.
Good plan.
I'm going to get through security. No bullets in my bags this time, I promise. Cleaned my bag out completely. All it's going to be in, and I'm a little nervous about the ghost hunting equipment being in my carry-on, but I'm going to have it in my carry-on because I don't want to put it in my luggage, because I know how they treat luggage at the airport.
Right.
And clothes getting beat up is one thing, but my new ghost meter getting beat up, completely different story. So we haven't been on the air for like a month either. So I don't even remember what movie you're supposed to review.
The Terror.
Oh, yes.
I know, because I watched it today.
Good. Good. So, yeah, it was October was just insane crazy, and, well, we took some time off. I'm sorry. So I keep getting this lady who keeps sending me these photographs that she's saying at work. And it's obvious it's those Android phone apps, the ghost apps that put the ghost pictures in there.
Right.
It's obvious. And I keep having to send her the photograph of the ghost.
The phone app.
Yeah. I'm like, huh, you know, bless you. You know, you're excited about ghost hunting. Awesome. But do a little research when you take a picture with your phone. Somebody's
screwing.
So
she's taking the pictures
she's
herself?
Saying she, yeah, she's saying she's taking the picture herself. Yeah, oh, no. Okay. Somebody else gave it to her. Yeah. He's screwing with you. He is so screwing with you. I'm sorry. Yeah. They're all phone. They're all the phone app ones. I feel sorry for this lady. I'll send her a message later. But I'm trying to still sign in, and it's not signing in. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm out of chat tonight. So, and I'll play with it when I get home tomorrow or this weekend. Anyway, so how are you guys?
But are you linked into the... Are you broadcasting?
No. Yeah, we're broadcasting. Are they hearing us?
I don't know. I've been rebooting.
It's saying it's sent, and everything seems to be working just fine. So, and Jess has put her speaker down, her microphone down, and...
I was typing.
Oh.
I can't type and hold the...
Bother.
What?
Aww, you just froze it again.
Yours froze again?
I just barely got everything launched.
Yeah, I would suggest that
maybe just
don't go into chat. It could be chat.
Oh, there it goes.
Hey, oh, it's working now. So I'm looking at the WonderCon's page here. It doesn't really have much information yet. Last year's attendance was 39,000, and that was up in Northern California. Now it's in Southern California. They're estimating... Holy crap, 130,000 people.
Because it's in Anaheim.
We're
going to
be
busy.
We're going to be busy. People are going to know who we are. That's scary, but cool. So I'm trying to see who... It's not telling me who guests of honor are. That's too bad. I'm a little disappointed.
So we. I need to work on my disguise if people are going to start knowing me.
Yes.
I need an alter ego to go out into public.
It's Jess the Geek Girl. Everybody else knows you as Jess, you know, something else. So
yes, everybody else knows you as something
else. Something else.
And it's amazing how many of those involve swear words.
Hey. You've been talking to Kevin, haven't you?
I don't need to. I get the emails myself. Yeah, I'm not seeing who the special guests are. That kind of pisses me off. It's only like, four or five months away. What? Come on, let's get with the program. Anyway, it's going to be in Anaheim, California, not far from Disneyland, as a matter of fact. So if I go to Disneyland without my kids, I think I will not be able to come home. I think my children will kill me. I'm just saying, I think they will hunt me down and kill me.
Leave us a good EVP.
You know my secret message.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? I've not told you? I've told Jess. I know I've told you.
I'm not in the know.
I'll have to tell it again.
Forgot it then.
I'll have to tell it after we're off the air. So October was good. The Baron Woolenmill was fantastic, don't you think? I mean, it was some great activity. We had a really good news story broadcast about it. Freaked out the reporter. You were there. I wasn't.
Yeah. It was, he...
Please expand.
Please expand. I was going
This is there. Radio, not visual. Well, anyway.
It did catch him off guard. With the flashlight.
So we had the flashlight, and he was asking questions?
He was asking the questions, and the flashlight was responding to him.
So what was he asking? Anything in particular? Do you remember?
It was kind of slow at the beginning, and then we were down in the ash room, and we had the meter going, and there was a little boy. I think it was the same boy that was talking with Mo the weekend before.
Okay.
And so it was discussing with us, and that was part of the newscast. And then so we started to roam around, and they had the flashlight up by the Weaver.
Okay.
And it wasn't anybody on the teams. It was somebody that was just on the tour, put their flashlight up there.
Yeah, because somebody posted a video of how you could make it.
By screwing with the batteries and whatnot.
Actually, a remote control. They actually have a YouTube video where you
can
use it.
And there again,
you know what? Good for you.
We've said up front, we could reproduce.
Yep.
The problem is, we don't.
Right.
We're just doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
I will say that my understanding was he was going to come up and spend about an hour, hour and a half. Interview you.
Yeah. He wasn't going to be there for very long.
Photography, and that was it.
5 hours later.
Yep, four and a half hours because he was there for
an entire
half hour and then the whole four hours for the one tour. And he left, he made the comment, he was very skeptical when he showed up. It was just going to be one of these little fluff piece things that the news did for Halloween. But by the time he left, he says he wasn't a believer, but he was a lot further down the scale from skeptic.
And you know... I was very impressed with the way that the segment turned out.
They did a really awesome job on that.
I was
really, really good.
Yeah, I was really worried, you know, because they can make it look however they want it after they've left. That's one of my biggest issues about the TV shows and all that stuff is they follow you around and then they make it look however they want it to look. But I was really impressed with the way it was well done, I thought. And I was also happy that it wasn't just focusing on one person. They interviewed
more on the team or the mill.
Yeah, right. It was they interviewed people that guests that had shown up. They interviewed us. They showed some of the things. I did think that the whole camera, you know, the Blair Witch Project scene was a little cheesy, but you know, hey, it's news.
It's yeah.
But you can check that out at KSL.com. If you're interested, just go to KSL.com and Google Wasatch Paranormal. And it's on our Facebook page as well. I need to have Kirk hook that up on the website. So,
yeah, I haven't figured out how to get it downloaded off of KSL. I think we may have to contact them and see if they'll send us a copy.
And get permission to – I'll have Kirk deal with that. That's what I have an IT guy for. Speaking of IT guys, we're going to, once I get back from California, Kirk and I are going to sit down and we're going to redo some things on the website, add some new EVPs, and a few other things and work on the RHR website, which is down right now because, well, I took it down. I just didn't like the way it looked and we get more off of Facebook than we do anything else. So,
right.
So that'll be back up hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We're looking forward to a 2013. I've got some really good investigations set up. We're going back to the Zims building in December. I'm excited about that. Just the team. We're going to set up the infrared cameras, see if we can capture some things. I've been in contact with the managers there at Pebbles, our Pebbles and Twigs. They have been having some more activity. The little girl that's been in the basement seems to be more prone to come upstairs now. They're seeing her more. And that reminds me, I owe her a dolly. I need to take a dolly over there. But, I mean, for the first time we went, I only caught one EVP. Have you listened to your audio?
I haven't gotten all the way through mine
yet. I know
yet.
Tracy listened to hers, and she said she didn't really capture anything.
I've got, well, but see, I also ran two recorders.
One of the issues was, is it was a tour for B98 with Todd and Aaron.
Right.
So we had a lot of people there that were new, inexperienced. So we did get a lot of background noise, a lot of people talking. So it's really kind of hard. The one EVP that I did capture that I know isn't myself or Todd was in the basement. It was just the two of us. And it definitely sounds like a little girl to me. I mean, we've all talked about what it says.
Right.
Regardless, it was just Todd and I down there. And it's definitely to me a little child, a young girl's voice in my ears. So,
and I may have a couple. I can't remember what I've had to move on to other investigations and stuff. So
yeah.
I haven't.
You guys did a residential this weekend.
Right.
Had mm-hmm. some interesting things happen.
It was an interesting investigation. I don't want to say too much.
No,
just because
I think we could talk a little bit about the fact that this spirit is trying to help others on the other side. I've never encountered that before, where there's a spirit on the other side trying to help spirits cross over.
Exactly.
I mean, I think we can go into a little detail about that. We're not...
Well, other than, I mean... I think we need to kind of discuss a little bit more. I mean, it was the initial investigation.
Yeah. You guys still need
but
to go
we
over
got,
the audio.
We got some, well, I didn't get a whole lot of EVPs out of the audio, but because we had so much activity through the meters, but the meters were
spot
dead
on.
Dead on accurate.
I'm telling you, ghost meter is just blowing my mind.
I was
mind
holding
away.
A meter in each hand, and I was getting identical answers within 2 seconds of each other. And when I started communicating, and we actually sat Jess on one side of the room and me on the other side of the room, and part of us talking, we weren't vocalizing the questions. We were just talking to him in our head. And it was very consistent in its answers, almost to a frustrating stage.
Now, are you finding yourself doing that more, asking the questions in your head? Because I've been finding myself, the last time I sat down at the mill, I haven't gone over this audio, but I sat over by the weaver in the mill for about 30 minutes and asked the questions in my head with the monitor. And then I also asked in my head to respond through my digital recorder. So there's about 20 minutes of me just being silent, asking these questions, and you can hear the ghost
the meter
going off. Yeah.
I mean, the only problem with that is where you don't have the questions audibly when you listen to your recording.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't validate any of that. So if you get an answer, a yes or no answer, you don't know what it's answering.
Yeah.
But with this, as I was talking with this individual, every time I brought up helping him cross over,
yeah,
no. Do you want to? You know, do you want to stay in this house forever? No. Would you like our assistance to help you leave tonight? No. I mean, it was just, and it was so adamant, and as soon as I would push it, he would disconnect. But we were getting, I bet you we got up to 15 questions at a time before they disconnected.
And they were connecting back quick, like they disconnect and a few seconds later they'd connect again, and it's like, holy cow, my meter's never connected this fast ever. So yeah,
I'm kind of jealous that I didn't go, but I'm kind of glad I didn't. You said he was kind of an alpha male, so that may have mm-hmm. conflicted,
and that's actually what he wanted to go by, because they were you know what, I'll just be blunt. I think as we walked in there, I think they had it in their mind it was something else.
And they were. Talking to the grandma and talking to the mom via email, they were really concerned that there was something dark in there.
And that isn't what it was. And by the time we got done, the odd thing about this investigation is not only did the living resident come to a better understanding of what was going on with the spirits, I think the spirits got a better understanding of each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And that's ultimately what we want to do. I mean, we're not here to prove it yes or no. We're not here to say the place is haunted. We're not here to, you know, we give them advice and let the homeowners take charge of the situation.
And the proof will be in what happens over the next couple of weeks until we can get back and talk with them.
Yeah.
I told her to monitor it.
If things got worse, they've got your contact information.
And where she was more afraid of this entity. Now he may be her best. He may be her best advocate.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that it worked out. I really enjoy doing residentials. It's a completely different experience.
We may be having an issue. They're not hearing us very well in the chat room.
They're not. Let me double check. Yeah, I don't understand why.
A lot of interference.
Weird.
And that may be because I know Loud City actually shut PQRN down last Thursday.
Yeah, I'm showing levels are great, and recording
Belinda,
levels
Belinda's
are great.
Belinda's show didn't work very well. Got 2 minutes, and then it went weird on her. So it may be something to do with Loud City. It may not be us.
I'm looking at everything else, and everything else is working fine. We're getting fine on the levels, on the recording levels and everything. So I'm not quite sure what that is. So one of the other things I want to talk about tonight is your guys' feelings on unique EVP questions.
Well, I think every time you just kind of got to go with the situation, like what you're feeling. Maybe I don't do this on investigation so much as I do when I'm talking to these spirits that tend to hang around me. But I usually just, you know, want to know more about their life and just ask like random questions that I'd ask any one of my friends. But
Examples. Again, radio. We need to go ahead and expand on that.
Well I will say, I think we do ask. What she's saying is, when a question pops into your head, there's probably a reason for it.
Yeah.
Had we not followed that, I don't think we would have got anywhere near where we did on the residential.
Oh yeah.
So going with your instinct.
Yeah.
And do you think that they direct us that way?
Well, I think they communicate with us in multiple ways, and the feeling you get, the energy you feel in the room, they may put an image in your mind that kind of directs you to try to communicate. That I think that was the other thing, is that the lady that lived there, I actually almost felt bad. Because when we walked in there, there was a lot of energy in one particular room of the house.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, maybe I shouldn't have asked him to come back. Because I think she told him that we were coming in case they wanted to talk with us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, literally, like we said, they were right there. And they were very talkative through the meter. Not so much through EVPs. And I even pulled out my Zoom where I could listen live and got nothing on that. But,
you know, I've often found though
tons of information, you know,
we debunked a few
things,
shadows and stuff like that.
Well, no, just images
in your head,
which kind of matched up.
We debunked some
light anomalies
while we were there. But see, even with her sitting on the couch, she was coming up with names that were falling inaccurate. So
events.
I mean it's going in, it's being open, it's sitting there
and allowing
them to communicate.
And that's what I think a really true paranormal investigator does. They don't take charge. They let the homeowners take charge. And it bugs me when I see these people go, well, we sent the homeowners away, we were in the house for 8 hours and nothing happened. And I'm like, but the homeowners are the ones that are having the issue.
Well, and that's where I was a little concerned
thought the kids were younger. I didn't want the kids freaking out. Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming when you bring in strangers into your home with all this equipment. I thought it could be overwhelming, and it's usually
But I think there's ways around that.
Yeah, I don't.
Because to me, I mean, you want to go in and you want to do as much as you can.
And I knew they were having activity, and I also thought, okay, so if the kids are away and we don't get anything, and then we come back with the kids there and we do get something, that would also tie down to the fact that it is the kids. Does that make sense?
It does, but I...
And I thought they were younger.
I don't want a residential investigation to turn into an experiment.
Well, I understand that, but it's one of the only ways we can determine whether it's the kids that are haunted or the place that's haunted. Is by taking the element out of the situation. If we think the kids are the ones that are being haunted, and they're there and we get a lot of activity.
Well, then, but
how do we determine whether if it's the kids or not? We've got to take that out of the situation.
But is determining it the main factor, or is it dealing with the problem more?
I think that it's both. You've got to be able to determine what the situation is so you can deal with it.
Treat the cause, not the symptom.
Yeah. So you've got to know what the situation is before you can actually fix the situation. So, and I thought they were younger. I thought they were younger kids, but I guess they were teenagers. I didn't know that information. If I would have known that information, I would have been fine with the kids there. But I've done a lot of these residentials where we've got younger kids there, and even 10-year-old kids can be overwhelming. All of a sudden, you're getting confirmation that the things that are happening to them is actually happening. These kids aren't ready for it, and that can be overwhelming to them. We don't want to scare the kids more, because fear can be a magnet for spirits.
No, but there's a way to have them there and give them that calming feeling. Even if you confirm that something's happening, then at that point you can, like we've said, we can teach them what to do.
And I think the best way for that too is to teach the parents, because the parents are the ones who are responsible for the kids. Teach the parents the situation, teach the parents how to deal with this, and then have them explain that to the kids. I just think it's that whole ownership thing. In my mind.
Yeah.
I think if we go back, when we go back and tell them and show them what we found, we have the kids there, we talk to the kids, we explain it to them with the parents, through the parent, so we're not taking away that authority. That's how I've always dealt with residentials. So, it's just my own personal thing. I think, you get a young kid in a situation, and I think it can actually increase the activity because the kids are scared. And the ghosts aren't trying to scare them. They're just, we're showing them these things, and they can affect the whole haunting.
But at the same time, having the kid there and dealing with it that night, then the kid's not living with it for the 2 weeks before we're able to go back up and take care of it.
That is a valid point.
And I think the other thing is by removing, even if it's a 5-year-old kid, by removing the kid out during the investigation, you're not seeing that part of the interaction in the investigation, which is information you need to have. And so, I think there are ways to go in and deal with younger kids and treat it in a way, like you said, in conjunction with the parents, but to remove them out of the situation if they're the ones
having the
activity, they need to be there for you to get the full picture. We may not have got the full picture.
That's true. And one of the other things, too, is when you have kids involved, they're very questionable. They want to know the answers to everything, and that can interact with the investigation as well. So you can lose control as well. It's a really fine line. And that's why I tend to, when I do residentials, try to keep kids out of the situation the first time and then the second time. It's just how I've been successful at it. And everybody does things differently. I just don't want the kids to, one, get so freaked out, and two, they could be asking 5 million questions and we're not going to be able to figure out anything. We're going to spend the entire time teaching the kids and not dealing with the situation. There's a couple of reasons why I don't like the kids involved. Mostly because I'm a parent, and I couldn't see. Tristan, my oldest, is one thing. He's been on ghost hunts. He's been into it since he was 8 years old. It's interesting to him. Now you bring in another kid who may have only experienced paranormal activity or some of the ghost hunting shows on TV,
right. And
you're putting them in that situation. And I think that can affect it. So, again, I can see both sides to it. Anyway, moving on. residentials are a good experience for a lot of paranormal investigators. I encourage you to do them, but to do them with the knowledge that you're no longer investigating for your own curiosity, you're investigating for somebody else's. not well, curiosity. Well,
you're going in to resolve an issue.
Yeah, you're the bartender. You're the psych. You're the psychologist.
What you've learned into practice. Yeah. You're resolving an issue. It's not games at that point.
No, it isn't. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that do these residentials that think that it is still a ghost hunt. And there's a difference between a ghost hunt and a paranormal investigation. It's plain and simple. So I really encourage people that start this to start with ghost hunts, going to museums and public sites before you start doing residential. I need to rewrite the book because in my book I originally say start off with friends and their houses or places that you know that may be haunted. That may not actually be the best thing as I've thought about it throughout the years.
Yeah.
Because they could stir something up in their own house that they're just not ready for. Or they could be, you know, provoking in their home exactly. on their first yeah. investigation.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I do have a chapter in my book that talks about provoking and not doing it and how it can cause problems, but starting out in historical sites and cemeteries and things like that, getting your feet wet and then moving into the pond. And then eventually...
And not investigating in your home until you're ready to find what you're going to find.
And I don't think that you do it... I don't think a new team does it unless they've actually... Whether the members have gone or... There needs to be some residential experience before they go in to do a residence.
Right.
Because it is so different. And you need, and it's, there's a difference between a residence and a business. Because a business, they still go home. They're not living in it. They're working in it, but they're not living in it.
No. And honestly, I think you treat a residential and a business similar, but with a different outcome.
Right. Because they can't leave. They can't, you know, when it's a business, yeah, they can step away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But a residential, they're there 24/7.
And a business, the owner has to be willing. Because I've done businesses where the owners are like, yeah, my employees say it's haunted. I don't really care.
Yeah.
And that's not control. The owner is the one. And I can tell the employees all day long, listen, you know, you can tell them to stop and do whatever you want. You do have some authority there. But when ultimately, it's the guy who owns the place or the gal who owns the place that is going to make the determination. Correct. So, yeah, start off with cemeteries, start off with museums, do some tours.
Go out with other teams
that have been doing this for a while. If you do get a residential and you feel uncomfortable with it, see if you can contact somebody that has more experience and see if they're willing to go with you. There's a lot of experienced paranormal investigators. If I had a paranormal team email me and say, listen, I have a house that I'm having issues with. Would you mind coming along? I would do it in a heartbeat. If I couldn't, I'd send one of you guys along with it. Somebody with some experience. Because that's ultimately how we learn in this field. There's only three ways to learn in this field. One, read. Two, practical experience. Three, experience from other people that have done it before you.
Right. I mean, you don't want a residential to be a testing pond for a new team.
No. No, it's a bad, bad idea.
You've got to have experience there. If you don't have experience with residentials, like you said, get somebody from another team who's experienced with the residentials.
I've said this before.
You know,
let's make the situation worse. You are being called in by the homeowner as the expert. You go in there, something happens to the point where it freaks you out, and you run out of the house. What is the homeowner going
to... You deserve to be shot at that point.
Yeah, what is the homeowner going to do? The homeowner's going, no, wait a minute. You're supposed to be the expert here, and you're freaked out? And I've got to sleep here? I mean, seriously, and we've heard of these situations.
Well, yeah, we've had friends who have had teams that have had to go in and for lack of a better term, clean up behind them.
Yeah, and it's a disaster. So really think about it before you do it.
You have to be able to walk in there, and no matter what happens, no matter how scared you get, you don't show it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, let's move on to Jess the Geek Girls movie review. Yay. Brought to you by Night Flight Comics. Night Flight Comics is right here in Salt Lake City, two locations. Right there in Murray across from Fashion Place Mall or in the downtown library, Salt Lake City in the little plaza there
for a little while.
For a little while, they're also going to be doing something special for us on Thanksgiving Day. From I don't have the exact hours yet, but it's probably from noon to two. If you go in, anything you purchase, 25% of that is going to go to Wasatch Paranormal, kind of help us get some new equipment and help us to go to WonderCon and some things like that. And then they're also going to do that the first weekend of December. They're going to have some awesome deals on stuff. They're trying to reduce their inventory. They've come across some really awesome things while they've been doing some cleaning at the downtown store. And it's only going to be at the downtown store. So if you go on Thanksgiving Day or the first Saturday of December, it's got to be the downtown store to get this thing. I will be there the first Saturday of December, hanging out at the store and answering any questions. It's a great store. I love Nightfly Comics, and they are so knowledgeable. I actually gave out a stack of Batman comics as trick-or-treat items at work. So I put a stack of comics by the candy because I wasn't there Halloween Day. But they were a big hit, and I've had a bunch of people in the building come up and say, where did you get those? And so I've told them, you know, go to Nightfly Comics.
Right.
If your kids don't, if they're just starting to get into comics, go in there and say, hey, I've got a son or I've got a daughter. They're 9 years old or they're 12 years old or they're 18 years old.
This is what they're into.
This is what they like. What comic would they enjoy? And I can guarantee you anybody on their staff is going to point them right to what they would like.
Exactly.
I have been turned on to four comics now because of Nightfly Comics and their staff there.
Much to your demise.
Yeah, well, I've limited myself. I have a budget. And that's always a good thing because they can become addictive. So Nightfly Comics, sponsors of Residual Hauntings Revived and Just a Geek Girls movie review. And it was?
The Terror.
The Terror.
With Boris Karloff.
One of my favorite actors.
And?
I don't know. I didn't recognize anyone else.
Really? You did not recognize Jack?
Jack Nicholson. This is his
Jack Nicholson.
This is his very first horror film. I totally forgot. It's been a while since I read the reviews, so.
I don't know. Would you count that as his first horror film? Because he was also in the original.
Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah.
This is actually before Little Shop
of
Horrors.
Was this before?
Yeah.
Because he looks younger in Little Shop of Horrors than
they actually. Or maybe this was the second one. I'm trying to think now because there was something I was reading about this that because of this, they had him do Little Shop of Horrors, or because of Little Shop of Horrors, they had him do this. It was one of the
This
two.
Looks like it was better filmed than Little Shop of Horrors was.
I love the original Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
So it's one of my favorite classic black and white horror films. Oh.
What the crap was that?
Sorry, everyone. Yeah, that's Windows 8. Let
You've
me
got
know
mail.
That I have mail. I need to turn that off. Yeah, I'm going to turn off the live tile to that. I apologize. Please forgive me. Anyway, what did you think, Jess?
I liked it. I thought the cinematography was pretty awesome, too.
Yeah.
I really loved the lighting of the crypt area.
Yeah.
And I loved the purple robe because it was awesome. Okay. There was some serious major cheese in it, though, at some point.
It's, what was it, 1970?
But it did have
a good...
Let's
put the chocolate on her face.
What? Not 1970.
What was it, 1960s?
Oh, it had to have been way before that.
I think
it
was 60s.
It had to have been 60s.
I'm pretty sure.
It had to have been 60s. Late 60s. Late 60s, early 70s. I'm thinking. As we Google it.
Wait for it. Oh, dang it. Russ is so much faster than me.
He is.
Mine is
I'm
going to
say 67. 67 or 72. 60. What was I?
The Terror.
The Terror.
Yeah, right. It's going to take a minute. Even IMDb is unsure of what we're talking about. What?
Huh.
I might win this race. Come on, internet.
It jumped to The Walking Dead.
Come
I was confused.
Come on, internet.
1963.
Really? Wow. I was wrong. It happens occasionally.
Occasionally.
Unless it's that way. Well, no, wait a minute. I've got all kinds of 1938.
No, it had to have been 63. Yeah, it had to be 63. So.
Stop moving.
We'll confirm that here in a second. So I don't know if that was it or not, because this... Nope, that's it.
63.
Yeah. So all movies that we choose for Just a Geek Girls Movie Review can be found on Netflix. They don't sponsor the show, but if you are listening to the show and you work for Netflix and you'd like to give us 3 free memberships, we would be happy to do that. If you have a Netflix subscription, you can join us each week and watch the movie and let us know what you think of it. Jess gives it a hit die every week, a 1 through 20, 20 being the best, 1, of course, being the epic failure. And you've only given 2, I think, an epic failure, I think.
I've probably given. There's got to be more that I gave, because you give some pretty cheesy movies.
You've only put a couple of them down.
Down to ones. I mean, there's been some 5s.
Down to ones. Well, yeah. I've given a couple 2s, because there's always been, you know, usually
some
one.
Saving grace, yeah.
One freaking hilarious moment that I might.
I liked the font they used for the credits.
I'm going to start using that.
Spoken like a true graphic designer.
Helvetica. It was a very nice, safe choice.
Yeah. Anyway, so hit die.
Hit die. Probably going to give it a 13.
Well, good. Good. Good.
I liked it.
Yeah. Boris Karloff is always good.
Kevin, at the end, too, spoke exactly what I was thinking when she starts, like, melting or whatever she's doing. I just like started bursting out laughing. Kevin goes, "Why is there chocolate on her face?" That's what it looked like. I'm like, they just keep like pausing the frame and like pouring chocolate on her face.
1963 like, special effects. Get the Hershey's out.
It may have been chocolate.
Could have been.
Probably was. Tasty special effects.
Well, nobody really wants to be covered in blood unless you're a Stephen King actor. All right, so I have that question. Have you seen I Sell the Dead?
I have not.
Ooh, it's a newer one. It's actually pretty good. It's based off of a graphic novel, so you may like it.
Sweet.
It's got Dominique...
Monhagen?
Monhagen in it. And Ron Perlman is in it. Ron Perlman is in it. It's an awesome graphic novel-based film. It was a direct-to-DVD kind of release. I really liked it. I actually saw it.
I'll probably just be drooling over Dominic the whole time.
It's a really good storyline. I really enjoyed it. And it mixes the live action with the graphic novel kind of mix into it. So it's really, really good. I Sell the Dead. It came out in 2008. Like I said, you can catch all of these on Netflix. We'd love to hear what you think of these movies. Send us a message. Find us on Facebook. However you want to let us know. So next week it will be I Sell the Dead 2008. All right. Should we dive into Tom's big word? Since I can't get into chat.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to figure out how to get it to you.
All right. I can walk over there and look at it, but that may not help.
You got your Facebook up?
I do. I'm in chat. Sorry if you're in chat, you won't be able to. Well, we can post the word in chat as well. So each week, Russ finds a new word for me to kind of look at. It's usually a multisyllabical word. Hey, I said it right. Huh? Because, well, they like to make fun of my dyslexia. And why not? We might as well.
We don't like to make fun of. That is not the point of
this.
Okay,
we'll post it in the chat room there.
Okay.
And now I'll come back and I will...
Send me an instant message because I am on. And this is actually brought to us, started by our good friend Tim, pronounced his production company, because I'm always horrible at it.
Bailiwick.
Bailiwick Productions.
Which I'm not sure if it's really his. I think it's actually owned by somebody else, but yeah.
Okay.
Still a friend of ours.
Friend of ours. Yeah. It's all because he thought it would be funny to torment me each and every week, and he does a good job. Although the last one I got right off the bat. I didn't know what it was, but I said it.
That won't happen again.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't. And, Libro Librocobralorestis? Somebody who likes to read.
Close.
Can I take a guess at how to pronounce?
Yes.
Librocobralorestis.
That's more of a dinosaur. How about librocubicularist?
There you go.
Okay. And the definition?
You are actually really, really close because you are one of these.
An author?
One who reads in bed.
Oh, one who reads in bed. Okay.
I thought interesting. That was a good one.
Yeah, that is.
You actually, that's, you didn't get close to the pronunciation, but you did get the,
I actually saw this today on Pinterest.
Damn Pinterest.
Yeah.
Screwing up my Tom's
Big One. The word on Pinterest?
I actually saw the word on Pinterest. It was one of those little postcards, you know, little old style pictures. It has a little writing. Nice. And that's how, I didn't know how to pronounce it, but I remember seeing that.
I had another one, but then I chose that one instead, so I'll save the other one for next week.
Awesome. So, yes, we like to make fun of Tom's screwed-up brain.
No, it's a learning, it's the educational portion of our show.
It is the educational portion. Maybe we can get a grant.
I didn't pronounce it right, okay?
Maybe we can get a government grant. It can be fun. It can be interesting. Sometimes I get it right off the bat, so anyway. Let's go to Panda News. Panda News is brought to you by thezombienation.com. Our good friend Carter Reed, three times a week, gives us either a zombie drawing or a zombie comic strip. There has been a love interest going on right now. It's been a great couple of weeks. You can check it out. He also reviews zombie movies, zombie video games, and of course, he is a big fan of Cthulhu. I have my Cthulhu fish on my new laptop. So check out thezombienation.com. New episodes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We are proud to have him as a sponsor and as a friend. So, Panda News.
All right. We have quite a few of them because it's been a while. We will start in Cleveland. A 53-year-old cleaning fairy said that she owns a cleaning business and sometimes enters homes, cleans them, and leaves a bill. She has another burglary case pending, but circumstances weren't clear.
So she breaks into people's houses, cleans them?
Okay. A woman accused of breaking into a home west of Cleveland, cleaning it, and leaving a bill for $75 has pleaded guilty to attempted burglary.
Damn fairies.
Susan Warren, 53, told authorities that she was driving by the house and wanted something to do. She broke in, washed some coffee cups, took out the trash, vacuumed, and dusted inside the house. Then she left a bill written on a napkin that included her phone number.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, can you come over to my house? Because I'm sure my wife would be. Although, you may want to let us know first. My house is a little well-armed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. We'll move on to Akron. An Akron man is accused of breaking into a home early Thursday and then falling asleep in the resident's bed. Jacob Parker, 22, is being held in the Summit County Jail on burglary and is resisting
Summit
arrest
County, like in unit,
charges.
Utah Summit County?
No.
Oh, okay. Darn it.
We're like,
wait a minute.
According to Cuyahoga Falls Police, the homeowner called 911 at about 4 a.m., after seeing Parker forcing his way into the house. Officers went inside the house and found Parker asleep in a bed. As officers attempted to arrest Parker, he awoke and started fighting, police said.
Nice.
The officers then used a taser gun to subdue the suspect. The homeowner told police he did not know Parker. Outside the residence, police found a 2001 Mercury Cougar belonging to Parker's girlfriend. Officers went to the woman's Timbertop apartment and found her unresponsive due to alcohol use, police said. She was treated by Falls paramedic. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, my computer's running a little slow, so I'm waiting for the next one to pop up. How about Orlando?
Ooh, you know how I feel about Florida.
Tracy Joyce was riding through Winter Park on Friday afternoon when he saw someone drive by in his stolen blue Volvo. Joyce 40 followed his car and called the police. The scenario ended when the teenager behind the wheel of the Volvo rammed an unmarked police car and accidentally shot himself in the leg as he tried to run away, Winter Park's police said. The victim was in another vehicle and saw his car drive by. Officers spied the car, which Joyce had reported stolen the night before, in front of a house at Webster and Railroad Avenues. They boxed the Volvo in, but driver Roger Donald Johnson, 18, threw it into reverse, hitting the unmarked car.
Nice.
An arrest report states. He jumped from the car and ran north towards the railroad tracks when officers in pursuit leapt a hedge and pulled a .44 caliber handgun from his waistband, according to the report. The next thing officers heard was a pop. Johnson had accidentally shot himself in the right calf. He was booked in Orange County Jail at 11:15 p.m. after being treated at the hospital.
That's what you get.
Let's see. Moving along. Da-da-da. All right. 23-year-old Emmanuel Jerome thought he was being clever when he pulled out his iPhone during a burglary and attempted to use a flashlight app to help him see what he was stealing. Unfortunately for him, he mistakenly turned on the video recording option in addition to the light.
Oh, God.
After he and some friends finished taking what they wanted, they left the house, assuming they had gotten away with the crime.
Oh, my God.
When Emmanuel was picked up a few days later by police as a suspect in another home invasion and robberies, the police were likely surprised at what they found. During the course of the arrest, the police went through his iPhone looking for any evidence concerning the robberies. They found the video of the other burglary and That's used great. It as evidence in court.
That is great.
Emmanuel was sentenced to 44 weeks in jail after the judge told him, significantly in my view, camera footage of the invasion of that property was captured on your mobile phone.
Oh, that's awesome.
Any would-be criminals should keep this cautionary tale in mind. While it is always best to follow the law, if you're going to break into a home, make sure you're not recording it on your phone.
How do people even do that? It's like two separate things. Like,
I don't know. I've butt called people a billion times. It's not, especially with touch phones nowadays. I don't know. I've never played with an Apple, so I don't know.
This one I know you will enjoy.
Again, I apologize. I'm gonna have to. I don't know how to.
Police are trying to find a home invader who was badly hurt when he tried to force his way past an 83-year-old black belt homeowner last night. The home invader, a muscular man in his 30s, who may be linked to other burglaries, broke into a high-set home in Gilruth Road, Kenmore, at about 8:30.
Oh, that's funny.
Inside were Edwin Dowdy, 83, and his wife, Judda, 76, who had lived in the property in the quiet Kenmore Street since 1966. When the couple, who both have black belts in the Japanese art of Aikido, realized there was an intruder in the house, Mr. Dowdy grabbed a knife from the lounge room he had kept for security and went to confront the burglar and warn him he was armed.
That's awesome.
He said he confronted the intruder and told him he had a knife, but the man tried to push past him and ran onto the blade. The injured burglar, who was bleeding heavily from the knife wound to his stomach, took two of Mr. Dowdy's handbags and ran onto the balcony and jumped to the ground. A large amount of blood was visible there this morning. He then fled from the Dowdy's in pursuit and tried to steal a car from a few doors down. The vehicle, which belonged to a P. Plater, had blood on it this morning, and there was a lengthy blood trail on the street. When the thief was unable to break into the car, he fled on foot, and police today issued a plea for public help to locate him.
advising that the amount of blood at the scene indicates that the man needs urgent medical attention.
Oh, that's great.
They say he is likely to have a noticeable injury to his lower front or side torso. Police have warned homeowners that while they have the right to defend themselves from intruders, only reasonable force should be used.
I disagree with that, but okay.
All right. Anyway, I thought that was great.
That's awesome.
So they're still looking for him. But yeah, a couple of 80-year-olds who were black belts happened to. Yeah. Okay, this one's short and sweet.
Aw, sweet.
Man thwarts would-be car thief. Sits on him until police arrive. A New Mexico man thwarted a would-be car thief and then took a seat on the suspect until the police arrived, according to a report from New Mexico. The man chased the suspect, subdued him, and sat on him until police arrived during an incident earlier this month that was caught on video, according to the KOAT report.
That's funny.
Okay. Manatee. Brandonton? I'm not sure what state this is.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the animal.
Actually the town of Manatee.
There's a town?
Yes.
I wonder if they eat a lot of fish there.
Two burglary suspects were arrested early Monday after they got lost while trying to leave the neighborhood and drove back by the crime scene while deputies were there investigating, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. At 5:20 a.m., a neighbor saw Darian A. Caruso, 19, and James Hardy, 19, carrying items from a house in Brandonton and called 911. While deputies were investigating, they drove by the crime scene, according to a news release. They were lost in the neighborhood and trying to find their way out, the report states. Deputies stopped the car and located items belonging to the victims in plain view, according to the sheriff's office. Caruso and Hardy were arrested and charged with armed burglary.
And booking stupidity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh. All right. Here we go. Got about three more here. If I can get the... Lycans, which is Pennsylvania.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about werewolves.
I'm getting you here, aren't I?
Excited.
And it's building up, just so you know.
Okay.
A Lycans man, who has had the taillights and windows smashed out of his motorhome, told a state trooper he has seen Bigfoots in the area where the crime occurred.
Ah, Bigfoots.
State police in Lycans said the trooper was called to John Reed's home in the 400 block of Division Street, where Reed reported that he had seen Bigfoots near his 1973 Winnebago on Lycans Road.
Wouldn't it be Big Feet?
Bigfoots? Big... No, well...
Big Feet.
No.
He'd seen Big Feet?
Police said Reed told them that after he had turned on the RV's outside light, a Bigfoot began throwing rocks at the light to prevent being discovered.
They like to do that.
Yeah.
Reed, however, provided a different account to ABC 27 News Friday afternoon. He said he believes the crime was committed by vandals.
Well, Reed, the Bigfoot was a vandal.
Yeah. Reed is a self-described Bigfoot tracker and a founder of the Lycans Valley Sasquatch Hunters. His posting in the group's Facebook page referred to the RV as the Doghouse, their official base camper. The Facebook postings indicate the damage done to the camper was found during Bigfoot hunts on September 11th and September 28th. While we were in the camper, I seen something walk by the window. Not just walk by, but kind of duck down like it was trying to duck under the window. He didn't want to see us, Reed said. I thought maybe one of my friends was messing with me until I realized the window was 6 feet high. What I seen was the back of something's head, which was covered in hair, like 6-7 inch hair. Whether or not Bigfoot is to blame for the RV damage, a state police spokesman said the incident is being taken seriously and will be investigated. We take every call seriously whether it involves Bigfoot or not, Trooper Adam Reed said. The bottom line is there was some damage done. There was some vandalism done to his property.
That's funny. Those darn Bigfoot hunters.
we'll move.
What are they thinking, diving into the paranormal like that?
And this one, I kind of thought of Jess when I read this one.
Oh, goody.
Beaverton, Oregon.
It's not about sandwiches.
Three Beaverton police officers corralled a hamster and took the animal into protective custody after the animal's owner and driver was accused of impaired driving. Shortly after 12:30 a.m. Tuesday, Beaverton officers stopped a vehicle on suspicion that the driver was impaired, said Officer Mike Rowe, a Beaverton police spokesman. Officers reportedly talked with the driver, whom they identified as Nicole Huey, 27, of Beaverton, and found that she had a hamster on her lap. The hamster, whose name is unknown, was loose inside the vehicle and was the only other occupant, Rowe said. Huey reportedly told police she was headed to a local store. Rowe said Huey got out of her vehicle and left the hamster on the dashboard. Police arrested Huey on an accusation of driving under the influence of intoxicants, and she was lodged in the Washington County Jail. Neither Huey nor her hamster were injured during the incident. Huey, Rose said, told the police she didn't have anyone who could get the hamster, so they should just kill it. Police told her that the pet would not be harmed, and they would take it to a safe location. It took three officers to capture the furry little passenger, wrote on the department's Facebook page. It appeared that the hamster wanted to stay in the vehicle, and it put up a good fight trying to avoid capture. An officer created a container for the animal from an evidence tube and safely transported the hamster to the emergency veterinary clinic in Tulutan. Police, Rose said, gave Huey contact information for the clinic, and she claimed her pet later that morning. A lesson to learn from this incident, other than do not drink and drive, it is not safe to operate a motor vehicle with any type of animal on your lap, Rose said. For people needing to transport a hamster, Rose recommended placing the animal in a container for its safety.
The hamster's name unknown.
You ever gone through a drive-thru with two dogs, a cat, and a ferret? Because I have.
Well, you got to take them all. Can't leave one behind. Yeah. Duh. I like the whole corralling the hamster. It's a new rodeo event.
This one I saved for last. Man arrested for punching Darth Vader's wife.
But Annie.
Wasn't she dead?
Yeah. But Annie.
In 1999, Mark Noakes of Walsall, England, was incredibly excited about the imminent release of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Like many of us. Until
like
we
the rest
saw
of
it.
Us, Mark had no idea just how terrible that movie would be. But that didn't stop him from legally changing his name to Darth Vader. His wife, Suzanne, also took her husband's last name of Vader because,
Suzanne Vader.
Well, seriously, who wouldn't do that?
Well, yeah.
If you're going to be married to the Dark Lord.
Hi, I'm Mr. and Mrs. Vader.
If you're going to be married to the Dark Lord, you might as well receive all the benefits that come along with it.
Of course.
Can you imagine being called up for dinner reservations or for your turn at the DMV?
Mrs. Vader, please come forward. Vaders. But I digress. Can I have the Vaders, please?
This all leads us to 13 years later when rogue Jedi named Iqbal Hare, come on, that even sounds like a Mon Calamari name, became convinced that Mr. Vader was using the dark side of the Force to seduce his own wife, Kelly Campbell. Definitely a human.
You want to sleep with me. You want to sleep with me.
The two men began fighting, but before any lightsabers could be unsheathed, Mrs. Vader stepped in the middle of the two to try to stop a physical altercation from occurring. Unfortunately for her, Iqbal had already committed himself to throwing a punch, which landed squarely on Mrs. Vader's face.
Aw, geeks. You people.
The resulting melee was recorded in what may be one of the most incredible-sounding police reports of all time.
One they excerpt, have it on video?
One excerpt. No, the police no, report.
Oh, okay, the police report. Okay. Oh,
one yeah. excerpt, which was reprinted in the Birmingham Mail, read as part. There was a scuffle involving the two men, and Mrs. Vader tried to get between them. The defendant struck her, but there is evidence that, in fact, he was trying to hit Darth Vader. Hare then picked up a brick, and he threw sand in the face of Darth Vader, whose wife was so worried about him getting further involved in the dispute that she locked him in their house. Hare ran off and hid for 2 days before being caught and arrested. He was charged with, and pleading guilty to, possessing a bladed article, knife, not a lightsaber, assault, and disorderly behavior. He will be required to complete 200 hours of community service and be placed under strict supervision for 18 months. Considering whose wife he punched, I'd say Mr. Hare got off pretty light.
So can you imagine this poor guy sitting in prison, sitting in the jail cell? So what are you in for? Well, I'm a Jedi, and I decided to beat up Darth Vader's
wife.
And I ended up hitting Darth Vader's wife. Seriously. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, that's freaking hilarious.
That's Panda News.
Panda News is brought to you by thezombienation.com, where it's not just zombies, where it's not just rednecks. It's zombies, rednecks, and boobs. Go check it out, thezombienation.com. You can get all your great flair and great decals right there at the store, and you can catch up with the Zombie Nation by picking up Volume 1 of the Zombie Nation's Death and Taxes. So, awesome. I will have a great report next week of an investigation I get to do in California. And I'm excited about it, and talking about hanging out with Heather. I'm extremely excited.
Yeah, it should be fun.
It's going to be a blast. So I get to mark off a bucket list. I'm going to give a lecture at a college.
So there you go.
That'll be cool. Any last comments, guys? Anything you want to bring up? No?
No, I think that's...
No. We're going to work on some new guests. And we've got Craig. Oh, God.
Nebo.
Craig and Nebo going to be coming on, talking zombies with us shortly.
Oh, cool.
With his new book. We just got to work out a date. I told him I'd figure it out once I get back from California.
It's actually Nebo, but that's okay.
Nebo?
Yeah.
Is it Nebo?
Yeah. Craig Nebo.
Craig Nebo.
Craig.
Craig.
Nebo.
Nebo.
There you go.
I'm going to... Anyway. Thanks again, everybody. We look forward to each and every week, and we will be back next week. Movie Review and Just a Geek Girl and The Zombie Nation and Panda News and so much more. Thanks again. Have a great night.
Good night. Well.